All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Another great day. Beautiful out. We're here in church. We're here fellowshipping with everybody. And for the football fans, today is Super Bowl Sunday. And I used to love watching Super Bowl. If I miss it, don't matter. But I love football. So for the football fans, I love playing football. I love watching football. But I don't get too caught up in all of the mix. And we're glad we're here in church, right? Yep. And also another special event is tomorrow is our Rhonda and I's anniversary. So 2-year anniversary. So yeah. So Rhonda and I were enjoying the weekend, you know, and kind of starting early. So this is my long weekend this weekend from work. I have 5 days off, and I get to enjoy it. And then we're going to go to the rehab center, then go out to eat, and we'll probably miss the... Maybe they'll have a thing on TV somewhere about the Super Bowl, but probably going to miss it. So, but they say it's supposed to be a big thing going on with that this year, but... All hype, huh? Yeah, there's some things that they do in there that I don't agree too much with, but with the football and the talent, how can I, you know, not agree with that? But, all right, so as you guys know, we were in First Thessalonians. We went through verses 1 and 2, and verses 1 and 2. Kind of entailed. So the whole Thessalonians chapter 4, that's what we were in, chapter 4 of Thessalonians 1, is kind of going through a believer's walk, how we walk in our, and how a believer should walk. And we went to, last time I was here, we kind of went in a little bit in depth about that walk. And we kind of seen, and we're going to read it right now, but we're going to read through the whole chapter, the verses that we're going to go through, and then we're going to start our verse-by-verse study, because that's a really good way to study the Bible, because this is adult Sunday school, for those listening, that a verse-by-verse study of the Bible is one of the best ways to kind of get into your Bible and just go verse by verse, and you'll see how much you get out of it. So, okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to kind of go starting in verse 1. But our text for today is starting in verse 3. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren. And remember, whenever you're reading or whenever you're in God's Word, you want to see who's writing and who are they writing to. So we see who's writing here is Paul, and he's writing to the Thessalonians. Thank you. I probably would have tripped over it. Fell on my face or something. So, okay. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And we're kind of going to read through it. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So, those are the verses I'm planning on going through, so we'll see if I even make it through. But we kind of going through there, we see how, you know, our walk and our sanctification and abstaining from fornication, things that we know, not defrauding a brother, that the Lord is our avenger. And so we're just going to kind of go back to verse 1, go through verse 1 and verse 2 real quick. So you see that in verse 1, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So Paul wanted the Thessalonians, hence us, to kind of abound more and more in our walk with our Lord, to do more in, you know, abounding more and more as in our walk, to do more, to set higher standards, as you will, just to be better. I mean, you know, who wouldn't? The Lord, I'm sure, I know, wants this of us. He wants us to be the sharpest Christian that we can, you know, to be out there in the world and to share the gospel. Because you never know. I mean, when I'm just going to say it now. So at my job, I literally basically living at my job right now. So, you know, I see the same people all the time. And sometimes you get that opportunity to share the gospel with different people. Well, there's a security guard that I shared, that I recently shared the gospel with. And it's exciting because, you know, a lot of times you'll get like, one guy I shared it with, he's like, "What, are you going to try and convert me now?" And I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, it's like sometimes it kind of throws you off. But this guy was open, you know, he was like, "Hey, you know, I believe in Jesus." He's like, "I don't know if I'm saved." So I went and grabbed my Bible out of the car. We kind of went through it. And I got a good feeling that he, you know, that he, it kind of opened his eyes just how, so, you know, you let the Lord work, but that feels good when you kind of, you know you help somebody and they're open to things. So that's just my excitement that I went through. So in verse, so now we see, you know, to walk and to please God. And we kind of went through that walk, you know, that we don't walk under the law, that we walk under grace, Romans 6:14. We went through that last Sunday, but verse 2, "For ye know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus." And in Galatians 1, we've seen, we don't have to go back there, but we've seen that the commandments that Paul's talking about here, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So we know that the 12 were given, were, they had Christ's earthly ministry. And that, and Paul was not learned from any man, from nobody here on earth. He learned from the ascended Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is a type of a difference there. So, and he had over 300 plus commandments that he was given. So that's, we went through that too. So that's a recap of what we went through last time. Now, I think we went through verse 3 too, and we can go there. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain abstain from fornication." So we know that we should abstain from fornication, you know. We should be our sanctification, but we know that sanctification has, there's two kinds of sanctification. There's positional, and then there's our walk. So here we see that we're talking about our walk, and that it's not talking about our position, and that ye should abstain from fornication. So it's saying, hey, this is probably better you stay away from doing that, you know. And it's, so I do want to go through a few verses just to go through God's word. Today's going to be sweet and simple, so, you know, I'm not going to go too crazy. But 2 Timothy 2. Chapter 2, verse 21. And I always like to say, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, that what is God, well, what does the Lord say? That all scripture is profitable, right? So we're just going to go through scriptures, and we're just, you know, there's sometimes, I mean, you read a scripture like literally 1,000 times, but it gives you like that same impact, even if you read it, because sometimes, as you grow in Christ, you're reading this, you know, scriptures that you've read for so long, but you find something new that you're in your, you know, in yourself, that you can tell that you've grown as as a Christian that you've grown and that you see, okay, I didn't see that before, but now I see, I understand it in our daily life, you know. So, and that happens to me often. I'm like, wow, you know, there's different situations. So it just is a beautiful thing. You read, so it's good to go through scriptures. That's what I'm saying. Repetition, repetition. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto good works. See, we're seeing there that our walk is important. We got to be ready for the master's use. You know, the Lord has use of us, and to keep our walk sanctified, to do what we're supposed to do, that we want to be ready for that moment, for them times, to not stumble. Somebody asks us a question about the Lord. That means you were probably being a good example. So they're being curious. And if you know your Bible, you can go right away. Okay, all right, cool. I'll show you this. And that's how it felt with that security guard. He's a good guy, too. But I wanted to go over... Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 18. I remember the Corinthians, they were doing fornication stuff. They were carnal Christians. Paul, you've seen, called them saints, but they were still doing things they weren't supposed to. So verse 18 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee from fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So this body that we have is, you know, Lord wants us to take care of it, you know, for his glory, to do like we've seen, for the master's use, for the master to be useful to the master, and unto to do good works, to do what's right to others, to spread the gospel, whatever the Lord calls us to do. Let's see. I wanted to go, we were in Thessalonians, but let's go back to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 23. And I think we went through this verse last time, but this is a good verse. Because remember, the Bible has so many truths in it that it's really mind-boggling. You really can't comprehend. And people are like, I mean, Rhonda were just saying, like, a lot of people are, you know, skeptical of God's word, but if you really investigated as hard as you can what God's word really was saying, you'll become a Christian. I believe that. You've investigated hard, and there's a lot of very bright men that's done that. We know that, Lee Strobel and many others, that they've investigated the hardcore. Like, they didn't just say, oh, let me read a few. Like, they investigated what the scriptures say, and they're like, this is too much. Like, it's got to be divine. You know, it's got to be holy. It's got to be from an all-powerful God. So, and just simple things like this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So, sanctified our whole. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that spirit, we're spirit, we're body, where we have a spirit, we have a body, and we have a soul. And a lot of religions out there and people get it mixed up. They think you have something else or other things, but we know that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body, and that's a Bible verse that shows that that's what we have, you know. And So that's just one, and then I want to go to 1 John 2:16, and we'll be moving forward after this. 1 John 2:16. And I know some people know what these verses are. And I'm just going to go over them. 1 John chapter 2, we can do verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we have three lusts. We know about these, that we have three temptations that we all go through every day. And that all the temptations fall into them three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, pertaining to the body, physical body, I think they all can pertain to it, but like the lust of the flesh would fall into a category of like food, or you know, food, sex, drugs. That would fall into that kind of category where you're sinning in that category. The pride of life would be like an ego trip, arrogance. You have power, you have money, you have things. So that would fall into that category. And the lust of the eyes is you like to be seen, or you're coveting other people along them lines. And we seen that at the beginning when Adam and Eve, when they ate the apple, you know, that she saw that it was good for food, lust of the flesh, looked pleasant to the eyes, and that it was made one wise, and that was the pride of life. So, and that Christ, when he was being tempted by Satan, so that was a good. That's a thing. So you know where you stand. That there's all them temptations in the world fall into them three categories. And people say, well, Christ didn't go through what I did. Yeah, he went through that and more. So he went through all the things. He was tempted just like us. And Satan himself tempted him. What if somebody came up to you and said, I will give you everything on the earth, all the kingdoms on the earth, if you just bow down and call me God? There'd be a lot of people who would do that. So, and the Lord was hungry, and he was out there, and he stood strong. So, that's a good picture of the Lord gave us, that he went through the same things that we went through. Okay, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians and continue going verse by verse. If I can find it. It's in there. There it is. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Oh no, let's go to verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So we see that. And so verse 5. Not in the lust of concupiscence. And concupiscence there is evil desire, indwelling sin. So you have an evil desire to sin, which you got just full of sin. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. So the Gentiles, we know they were alienated from Israel. And a lot of people don't want to believe this in the world, but the heart of man is desperately wicked. We know that. We know that. And we see that in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And we see that in the first book, Genesis 6:5, that The heart of man is desperate to be wicked, and it is always thinking of evil continuously. It's continually thinking evil, the heart of men. So that's a, it's like, wow, that's not good at all. You know, that's not good at all. But, which is why we have the Lord who's done what he's done for us. But that was one of the reasons why he did the flood, because man was getting violence, you know, violence throughout the whole earth. And it grieved him that he made man. He did the flood. But we're going to kind of go over, though, the Gentile, with the Gentiles. So this is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. So, you know, verse 1 through 10 is, you know, goes to our salvation, that for grit, by grace are you saved through faith and out of yourselves. And then in verse 10, you see that we are saved, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So it's not good works that gives us our salvation. We're saved unto good works. In verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. So what did, today we have what? Circumcision in the flesh made without hands, right? Spiritual circumcision, spiritual baptism. So that was, they were the uncircumcision. Abraham, before he became circumcised, he was of the uncircumcision, right? Abraham, before he, so he was un, he was part of the uns, he was just like the Gentile. He became the Abraham, the Lord offered him and told him that he would be, you know, gave him what he was going to give him, the Abrahamic covenant. And then he became part of the circumcision when they circumcised, he circumcised his whole house. So that's basically, you know, it's just an identification set apart unto God, circumcised. It's saying, hey, we're not the same as you guys. And we're, let's go back there. So, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, they had, you had to go through Israel's program to be saved back then. It was, there was no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You, all the Gentiles were considered the heathen and outside of the glory of God if they weren't following Israel's program. Commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. That's the covenants that I'm talking about with Abraham and with David, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a scary place there. It's a scary place. If you read that verse a few times over, having no hope and without God, that was our ancestors, the Gentiles, our, the people that we came out of, had to go through that. They were, so, and moving forward, but now, so we know that that but now is a dispensational term, that it's, that things were one way, but now things are this way now. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. We've been made close. The Lord has took that barrier that was between Israel and the Gentiles, and now we're on a level playing field. And moving forward, you're going to see this. We're going to see what's going on here in verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, between Israel and the Gentiles, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one a new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby of. So, we are part of the body of Christ. Now it's not Israel as the head, or Israel, the priests, and how they were operating. Now we're under same level playing field, and that we are part of a body called the body of Christ, and that's what the true church is called. The true church is called the body of Christ as our head. That's what he is. He's the head of the body. And each part of the body, all of us, has a unique and special thing that we can offer to, you know, as a part of the body. Like the hand can do things and grabs, the leg can, you know, let us walk. You know, the neck supports the head. So just as each part of the body supports the body and supports the head, that's what we are as Christians, and everybody does it in unique and better in different ways. Some do it better than others. Some do it different, but it's just upholding, upholding everybody together in love, like how Paul is saying, faith, hope, and love, and how he established the churches and every individual, all the individuals have a unique thing that they can offer to each other and to the Lord. So remember that. That's everybody has something to offer. It could be small, could be, you know, could be just moving things, helping people move. It could be somebody who can teach. It could be somebody who offers money. It could be somebody, you know, but there's always something that you could do. So, and that's what the body of Christ encompasses. And, you know, so this is, we have a beautiful church here that understands that, and I'm grateful to be part of it. So, okay, back to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Oh, I forgot we start 15 minutes early, so I got to finish 15 minutes. Yeah, I'm like, man, it's already, I got 30 minutes left. No, I got 15 minutes. Oh, and I haven't spoken, I haven't got a hold of him or spoken to him, but I do want to keep Ray Seiler in prayer, and we all know that, but he's doing the ministry, and he's ministering to people in the hospital, and he's not doing too good himself from what I understand. So I know a lot of you guys have been keeping him in prayer, but it's one thing where you're, because I've known people who are going through the same thing that he's going through, and them people were strong people, and they, like, it was like a total difference. They went down, and they got weaker, and they were, like, different people. So I can just imagine how Ray is feeling, and he's still finding it important, and still finding the strength within himself. Like, not even being selfish, like being selfless to share the gospel, you know, because he could easily go and crawl in his bed and just be bitter and be mad and be, you know, and that could be an easy thing, but he's finding it, the strength within himself, and that should be inspiring to everybody, because we're not going through that type of stuff. I hear it's nothing pretty at all, what Ray is going through. And like I said, I've seen people, one guy was built like an ox, and over time, he shrunk. Mm-hmm. Yep. He used to be my foreman, he was my general manager, Bruce. I don't know if you remember Rhonda, but he was a farm boy. Strong as an ox, and when he started doing that, that was it. So keep him, Ray, in prayer, because he's sticking to it and he's staying strong. And I know prayers are strong. People praying for me, and like I have a lot of family that's prayed for me, and I think that's what got me through certain tough times. So pray for Ray, because I know he's got tough times right now. And Paul Belbach, you know, he's doing his thing out there. He's grinding out there. So I'm grateful for him. Yeah, he's. Well, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I know he's grinding. He's doing good. So we're grateful for that. He's doing that because, you know, he was here and he's went out and stretched forth his arm and he's using his talents for the body of Christ. So, grateful for that. All right, back to task. All right, verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. So, we all seen the movie The Avengers, right? Well, we have the original Avenger. And that's the Lord Himself. Mm-hmm. The Lord is got our back, okay? That verse is basically saying that we have some kind, I don't know how deep it entails, but we've got some kind of God's protection. God is there with us. Now, how deep and how much it is, I don't know. But that's saying that God is there with you, and you got some kind of protection there. But a lot of people confuse it with, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't be getting sick then, or I should get rich. No, that's not what that's saying, you know, because God permits things to happen, and it's not like He's permitting it for evil. But you can get sick, you know, you will go through trials and tribulations. That's a promise. And I think that without those trials and tribulations, how would you ever know about how would you ever know what you're really made of? You know what I mean? Think about it. If you didn't have obstacles and things that just made you want to quit, made you want to give up in life, how would you know what you're made of if you didn't triumph over them things? Remember, as a man and as women and as anybody, if you want to be stronger, you have to embrace stress. To embrace the stress is going to happen in our lives, no matter what. There's always going to be things that our life is going to be hard, but once you embrace that stress and you go through it and you go through it with love and with forgiveness and with an understanding of God's word, because it's through Paul's epistles you understand God's word. And I use that, and I can go through stress, and I can go through we're not perfect. Sometimes we get mad and we'll, you know, lash out sometimes, but once you can catch yourself and be, you know, and do like, okay, I just did that, I shouldn't have done that, so now, you know, we get back on track. But I think trials and tribulations at times, they're good for you. You know, that's just how it is. They're good for you. As a man too. A man needs to go through the fires to become a better man. A man needs to go through pain and suffering. And that's just how I feel about it. And I think that's the way it should be. And I think that the Lord, this is how the Lord designed it. Remember, the Lord has made this world. He created this world. He didn't do the sin. Adam and Eve brought sin into here, but there's ways of getting through things. So I believe that trial and tribulation can be very helpful for us, and you'll never know what you're made of and how strong you are until you go through them. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we have it. Well, we're in a sin cursed world, but you know, but. You know, I just me, so I don't know. And so that verse in verse 6 is saying that we have some kind of God's protection. And have you, and I got to ask this question, I kind of went over it, but I'm sure you guys have had people who have defrauded you and have done you wrong and where you wanted to get back at them. You wanted to get back at them, you know, twice as bad. You're like, oh, he's going to get me like that? Oh, no. I got something for him. There's a lot of people out there. They will not let things go. They will get back at you and always think about it and get you back. That's just, I don't know if that's human. I've never had that problem where I can hold on to something like that. That's like, some people have that. And we pray for them people because they just can't let something you've done to them wrong, and they cannot let it go. And they're planning and ready to get you the next time they can. And like we said, we live in a sinful world. People are going to do stuff to you that, you know, they might have had a bad day, and they just were like, you were just in that right spot, right timing, in that window where they're like, yeah, I'm going to get this guy, you know, or something, you know. We've got 5 minutes, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but I did want to go over the law of first mention. We know the law of first mention, so defraud, if you want to go see, that's in Leviticus 19:13, where you can go see a word, and you want to see that, let the Bible define what the word means. That's the law of first mention. So you can go where it's first mentioned, and a lot of times it defines what that word means. So I think I'm gonna keep it cool. Oh, I did want to mention this though. So we talk about law and grace, Paul's epistles, the 12. And there's, oh, why are you guys always talking the difference? Why are you always bringing Paul up? Why are you always bringing that guy up? Well, I believe the reason why is because the Bible presents itself that way. I think when you really see where remember, the Bible has been doing divisions since Genesis chapter 1. Since Genesis chapter 1, the Bible has always been dividing. It's always got divisions and always saying, okay, well, you need to figure out what's what. And that's what's called rightly dividing. So, and when Genesis 1, what does God say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, God has always had two realms. Always had two points of focus. It's since the beginning. In the beginning, God created. Now, whenever the beginning was, it could be before he created, you know, whatever it was, he created two realms, a heaven realm and an earth realm. And throughout the Bible is consistent with that, those two realms. So you see that it's always been a difference. Those are two different places, two different things, two different programs, two different issues. So once you can figure out those two issues, you see that Israel has been always for the earth, and the Gentiles today through the mystery. And that's why Paul was in prison, because he was preaching a mystery. That was the reason. They were like, mystery? What? And I'm telling you, there are two divisions. There are divisions in the Bible, and there's a difference between law and grace. And there's plenty of people out there that are teaching it. So once you can find that, and anybody not saved today, accept the Lord as your Savior, that He died and He was buried and He rose for your sins, and that He's our Savior. Believe that, and you'll be saved. So 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I just mentioned that because you never know who might watch the video. You never know. Maybe, you know, I'm wearing a funny shirt, and they're like, oh, let me see that dude with the funny shirt on, and they're watching it and might be interested in it. So you never know. Okay? So I just feel that way, like, you know. Are there any questions, comments, anything about Thessalonians, a walk?
Have you ever heard that it was explained that no man go beyond and defraud his brother is under the context of fornication. So in other words, fornication within the a man or a woman in the body.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't even get it. Get that? It could be because it's they're moving forward into context, like you're saying. So, yeah, that sounds good. But it was saying beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. So it could be in the context of fornication, because fornication is bad. If you're doing that to your brother, that's not good at all. You know, like we said, the Corinthians were doing it, and they were saved. So they were called saints, and a lot of people, it's kind of hard for them to grasp that, but which I get. But yeah, if anybody's got any comments, how their week went, how anything went, any special, yeah, huh?
Sure.
Oh, the Bears.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, everyone, we're ready for the Super Bowl, huh? Yeah. Yeah. But, oh, go ahead, boy.
Yeah, what Tracy said, there are some Bible commentaries that do take that particular perspective.
Yeah.
Just defrauding your brother concerning fornication like that.
Yeah.
It is kind of common.
Do you think they're?
I'd have to wait, go back and look in my notes and. I remember studying the verses, so
it
was somewhat. Some people had that view.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's because Paul is saying that he's going off of what the Corinthians were doing.
But we have to remember these were pagan Gentiles, previously idolatrous Gentiles. So they're a pretty rough group.
Evangelized.
So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I think we're done. I'll close this off. Did you have something? Oh, okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Sweet and simple to the point. We are grateful we're here, and we're grateful that we made it here, and we got some kind of truth. Hopefully, it's. Resonates. We want the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. We want your glory. You want you to be glorified and you alone. And thankful for everybody here. And keep us safe and sound. We got Super Bowl Sunday. We got everything that people need to do today. Be with everybody and let us enjoy the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.